you go to verse page 34, verse 34, we're going to be there. If you want to take notes, open your Bibles, please. We're going to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We need to see if we can fix the echo. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read. We still turn it down a little bit. There we go. That's better. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read. Verses 6 on 4, 6. Let's stand so we can read the God's Word. And we're going to read it and study it. Read with me as I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as his purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, nor under necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have all an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Lord, thank you this morning for the opportunity once more to unite in your name as a church, to worship you by singing praises and by offerings. And now we can worship you through your word and study your word. And as we share, pray that your Holy Spirit would teach all of us that are here present, that you take away from us the distractions that come to our mind and that come to our hearts, and even physically as well, Lord, that this moment will be to think about what you want for our lives and how to live our Christian lives generously, and that we'll give honor and glory to you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the miniseries that we've been talking about the generosity, we've learned that in generosity, there's a lot more than the material things. Not only that, the concept of money, as you know, is a concept that has been coming along for a long time. But those to use paper that you use in our country, they're, of course, they're green. I like the colors of other countries. In Guatemala, they're all different colors. And I love those colors, and I'm not sure. I don't know why it's green in America, but interchange of money and uses that bill, that hasn't been something that we've done for a long period of time. Much before, in the old days, they used different ways to interchange. They used animals sometimes, and they would interchange animals to make transactions. Sometimes they used products. And eventually, they began coming up with using money and then using paper to make interchange of things. And today, we think that that's all that's involved in that small bill, but it has more than that. It involves a lot of our time. It involves our possessions that we have. It involves also the time that we give to others. And it also involves our talents. We've already seen up till now that we're not the owners of our life, but God is the owner of our life. In this chapter, we're going to find that Paul is talking to the Corinthians about an offering that they had committed to give to the brothers that were in Jerusalem. Now, several churches, Macedonia, they'd already given money, and they'd given their offering to be able to take it over there to Corinthians, but Corinthians had not given any money as of yet. So he's talking to the folks from Corinthians, and he's showing them that they needed to participate in that offering. And they wanted to send a clear message. The message was that the church was not composed of ethnic groups. Those that had believed that Paul had been saved, they were Gentiles. They were Jews that had believed the gospel. But Paul is saying that this is a form to show that we are one church that does not have barriers, ethnic barriers, that have social barriers, and we're united in Christ, and we want to help you with this offering. And this is the heart of Paul as he's talking to the people from Corinthians to give this offering. And in this passage that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to see four principles about generosity. And these four principles should help us and motivate us to be more generous with what God has given us. Now, more so, it also shows us that everything that we give to God has an immediate result, especially spiritually speaking. Especially speaking to the context that we talked about last week, to seek the kingdom of God and His justice and His righteousness. There are some obvious results when we begin to be generous towards others. And give generously is an act of worship to God. And not just something, not just a matter of giving something, and it's also not just about receiving something. It is an act that is produced by the grace of God that we've experienced in Christ, and the grace of God that motivates us to be generous to others. So the grace of God doesn't do that to us, then nothing's going to do it. And this was the case of a man who was very rich who went to church. And the church that was doing a project to build a new building, and they wanted financial help. So the deacons of the church went to go visit this man, had lots of money, and they decided to say, let's go visit that man. And I don't know if he was a bad man, but they decided to go ask him and talk to him. And he said to them, and they began to talk to him, and they explained the project and the plan. And the rich man said to them, so it sounds like you've got it all resolved. And they said, well, yeah. And he said, well, do you know that I have a mother who is a widow who has no one else to take care of her except for me? And they said, well, no, we didn't know that. So then they also said, he also said, do you know that I have a sister who has five children and her drunk husband left her and she does not have anybody to provide for them? And they said, oh, no, we didn't know that. The rich man says again, did you know that I also have a brother who's an invalid, who was involved in an automobile accident, and he does not have anybody to take care of his wife and his children? And they're very sad, said, oh, no, we didn't know that. And he said, very well, with a triumphant voice, well, you know what? I haven't given them a cent to any of them, and so therefore I'm not going to give anything to you. And he showed them the door. Nothing had moved this man to be generous. And this is the situation of a lot of people today. Nothing moves them. If the grace of God doesn't motivate us, then nothing is going to do it. Just like this man. Now, what are the four principles that are so important for our lives? So the first one is the principle of the harvest, verse 6. Look at what verse 6 says. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's the harvest. So it comes from the agriculture. So this principle is also used in Bible, as in respect to spiritual issues. It says, Galatians 4:6-7, do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. So it's related to the generosity and the economy of God that advances the kingdom of God and his justice. So this principle, we see it in the Old Testament as well, in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Look at what it says. There's one. It says, there are one who scatters and yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered. And this has to do with harvest. So it has to do with two things. So first of all, it says that he who is does not sow sparingly will not reap sparingly. He who does it grudgingly will only receive the minimum. So they're talking about in the old days when people had to throw seed, for example, for corn, they would go out and throw large amounts of seed, because the more the seed they threw out, then the greater the possibility of reaping more fruit. So the sower knows the power of the seed. And when he throws it out into the dirt, he knows the potential that this seed has and what it's going to produce. He could say, well, I'm going to reserve some of that or hold some of that and eat that. But the reality is it wouldn't help him in the future. So he's got to give that seed. You remember the parable that Jesus gave on the seed, and he said some of that seed fell on the path. Sometimes when the sower is throwing the seed out, sometimes he throws it out and the wind takes it away. And we're saying, what they're talking about, he's talking about sowing the seed because he knows the potential that the seed has. So now, if you're not willing or you're stingy, then you're not going to have a lot. In Matthew 25, verse 14, Jesus talks about this, about being grudging. And he talks about a lot of people, a lot of servants, and there you have these talents. Everybody received a certain amount of talents, and all of them invested them. They were generous. They were not stingy. And that one took his, and he buried it. And when God called him, he said, this is your talent. He said, what do you do? And he said, you wicked servant, why did you not invest it? He was stingy. He didn't want to do anything with it. The stinginess does not produce abundance. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus also talks about of a rich man that was not wise, that was willing to hoard and hoard and hoard without sharing. He wanted it all for himself. Look what it says. And he says that he had so much possession, and he thought to himself, what will I do? Because I don't have any more to anywhere keep my fruit. And he said, I will destroy my warehouses, and I will build bigger warehouses. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have so much that you have gained for so many years. Rest, drink, eat, and rejoice. But God said, you wicked man, tonight I will call for your soul, and what you have provided, what will it be good for? He was so worried about saving what he had, his possessions, that he really did not understand that his death was going to come that night, and he was going to be stingy and lose it all. Stinginess does not produce abundance. So if you have fear, maybe you're dissatisfied. All of these things create problems because we don't give generously. The generosity produces abundance. He who sows generously, then he will also harvest generously. So the word that we used here for generously is a word eulogy or religion. It literally means that he sows a blessing, then he will also reap blessing. So that's what it says. That's what it talks about. So when we give or bless others generously with the material, then we will also receive blessings in return. We will reap those blessings for helping others, but also God will give us things through his blessing. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, look at what the Lord says. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Talking about the results of the generosity. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And that's talking about prosperity, the blessing that God gives a person that sows generously. And we are sometimes very difficult, and I might, we don't want to be generous, and we miss out on the blessing that God gives us by helping others. So let's think about that when we're talking about investing for God and for His kingdom. That's going to show here as well as in the lives of others, and that's what we talked about last week, that we need to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. And the one that's going to give that result of growth, that seed, is going to be God Himself, who's inviting us to be generous. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says that all of them are all going to be helped. But look what he says and what they would receive. He says, nevertheless, you have done well and have shared in my distress and my adversity. Now you also know, you Philippians, that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You were the only ones that were willing to help me. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. So here's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, but not that I seek the gift. I'm not looking that you bless me, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Now that's kind of strange. What kind of account? Look what he says. Indeed, I have all and abound, and I am full of having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul is saying this. I'm looking for the opportunities that you will help me. It's not because I need it, but it's not for me. It's so that you will be able to abound in fruit for the kingdom of God. And when we're generous, that's exactly what happens, that God is going to use that for His kingdom and to bless us as well. So maybe we need to ask ourselves a few questions this morning as we look at each principle. Maybe there should be some questions that we should ask ourselves to reflect on this. For example, question number one, with what part of this principle do you relate to? With it being stingy or to be generous? Generous or versus stingy? How are you sowing generously for the kingdom of God with the material that He has given you? In other words, is the difference between versus thinking about it. Do you think that the more generous you are, the more you will reap for the kingdom or for yourself? And this helps us to evaluate the correct motivation versus the incorrect motivation. And the last, are you afraid to give, thinking that you will not have enough for yourself? And that's talking about personal confidence versus the confidence that we have in God. The principle of the harvest, if you're going to harvest a lot, then we need to sow abundantly. That's the principle. Now, the second principle is in verse 7, is the principle of the heart. Paul says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. First of all, there's two things in the principle of the heart. First, that we need to give from our hearts joyously. And notice that he proposed. This word propose means to determine beforehand. That means that the person who is going to give generously has a good intention, but he also does it planning ahead. It's not something impulsive. this is something for us, some of us, especially the way we plan things, at least people like me, I like to plan everything. And see, the Bible says, no, that we need to give as we propose in our hearts, which means that there is a part of planning to be able to complete an action to be generous to others. So we need to dominate our attitudes. But it also says we need to give not with sadness or necessity. We don't need to give because of obligation, but necessity, sadly. God doesn't want us to give sadly. The attitude that goes along with a person that doesn't want to give. He also doesn't say that we need to do it because of obligation. You know, that somebody's forcing us to do it. Maybe it needs to be something that somebody's forcing us to give. Very interesting what this passage says. It says that each one is proposed in his heart, not with sadness or with need. So what's he saying? Very interesting. It says God enjoys the joyful giver. Does that mean God doesn't love us? No, he's talking about in the context of be generous. One that delights, this person loves to be generous. And the word that's using there is the word that he gives joyously in English. I like the word in English because the word, Greek word is, well, it says hilarious, where it gives a hilarious fashion. Well, that's hilarious. It's something what? Very funny, very merry. So it means that the person that gives generously is a person that gives it with merriness, joyfulness, super happy that he is giving. And God loves that person. The heart needs to be willing to give generously as we have planned it, but not with sadness and not with necessity. But we need to do it, and we do it with joyfulness in our heart. That's a good challenge, isn't it? The majority of us, we don't always give that way. We're anxious about coming here, and then that time when we have to give, then sometimes we get kind of uncomfortable when it's time to give. And yet God says that we need to give, not with sadness, or not with by necessity, but that God loves the joyful giver, and he gives joyously from his heart. Give joyously as we have planned it, and with happy hearts. So here's some questions to reflect on. So how do you give? Do you give from the heart with the correct motivation? Without sadness? Or do you feel enthused to give to God's kingdom? Do you give because of obligation? Do you give because of necessity? Or do you do it sadly? Or are you enthused to give for God's kingdom? Are you a joyful giver? The principle of the heart. Number three, the principle of the immediate blessing. Look at verses 8 and 9. When we give, God produces an immediate reward. There's a spiritual blessing, an immediate blessing. For us, aside from the blessing God gives us in the life of those people to whom we have helped. Or it all could be a ministry that we're helping out. The blessing of God and his grace. Look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, all grace, is the fever inverted that supplies our necessities and gives us an abundance. And it gives us the spiritual blessings, but also it gives us that blessing that God produces materially. So it involves two things. First of all, it has to do that he supplies abundantly for our necessities. When we give generously, we need to recognize that the same God that germinates the seed is the same God, all-powerful, that did all, that created everything, and that maintains everything through his power. He also supplies our needs in a way that we have what we need. He is powerful to abound in us all grace. And look what it says following it, so that, as it is written, he is to push abroad and he is given to the poor. Now, this sufficiency means autosufficiency. And in the Greek culture, there's a term for a person who got to the point where he had everything and he was happy. And they had done this by their own human means. But Paul is saying, no, God is powerful to be able to complete and to be able to give everything that you need. And you can be autosufficient, depending on him, depending on the Lord. No, it's not by our own merits that we have that autosufficiency, but that God, as we depend on him, supplies all of those. So what does that say about our testimony towards our people around us? Those who are looking at our lives and are seeing that we are dependent, not on ourselves, but we're depending on God who is supplying our needs. While we are generous, God shows others that he is the one that gives us everything. It is the grace of God that is operating in our lives. And God makes that this abundancy continues to grow in our lives so that others can see us. That's a part of God. What is the other part? Verse 8, it says that you may abound for all good works. The purpose of God is not so that we can get rich. It is not so that we'll have everything. It is for what? It is to be able to abound and be able to be generous. And that's what God wants for us. This is the part of the blessing that we see here, the blessing of the grace. But look at verse 9, the blessing of the justice, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So he's talking about Psalm 112, verse 9. And it says, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. And this person can inhabit living and trusting that God is taking care of him. And not only that, God impulses him to be able to help and give to others. So when we are generous, we act as representatives of God, showing the justice of God to other people. So let's reflect on these questions for a few minutes. How is it that God has abounded his grace in you? How has he supplied, or God supplied, your needs? How am I trying to abound in all good work in other people? The principle of the immediate blessing involves God supplying abundantly so that we can abound in all generosity with other people. That's the principle of the immediate blessing. And number 4 is the principle of the multiplication, verses 10 or 11. Look what it says. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, he's talking about Isaiah 55, and it is a reference to the word of God talking about the seed, and what he's talking about, that God gives that seed, spiritually as well as materially. God gives the seed, and all of us have received the seed from God, the word of God, first of all, to be able to share with us, and share with others, share the word with others, but at the same time, the seed of generosity that God wants us to share with others. He is the one that gives it. And the interesting thing is this, but the obvious is this, is that God gives the seed, then who is responsible for giving the fruit? Who? Us? No. God. We take the seed and we sow it. And what will God do with that seed? He's going to multiply it. God is going to produce fruit, the bread of life, the eternal life, when it's the word of God. It is an eternal inversion, investment. But the generosity, God will take that and will use that for his glory, and he's going to produce more of that seed. Verse 10 says, increase it? The fruits of your righteousness. God is going to multiply that seed. So, brothers and sisters, maybe we have nothing to do with the results of what happens to that seed. God does that. We know God is going to reward us ultimately. And this is where we truly will see the fruit of our righteousness. And this fruit we will be able to see completely during the rest of eternity. But we need to trust in this, is that when we're generous and we invest in the kingdom of God, then God will be in charge of producing much more with that seed that we have given. And possibly we may not see it on earth, but we will see it in eternity. We need to understand that. And the less generous we are, the less we're going to see that fruit of righteousness, the righteousness of God. And the other thing is that we can't act justly without taking that first step. What is the first step to being just? To receive the justice of who? To receive the justice of Christ. We need to take that step that we recognize Christ as our Lord and Savior. Maybe this morning you don't know Christ. Obviously, you can be generous, but that comes from you. When God saves you and redeems you, and He saves you and redeems you, then He gives you His justice. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that. The one that did not know sin, he did not become sin, for he was made in him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's when He gives us His righteousness so we can live a just life. We cannot live a just life if we haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can be generous. There's no doubt about that. But the justice comes from God, and it comes through Christ. And that's when you can live for Him, showing His justice, when you take that step. Why does God increase the seed and increase even more the harvest and the justice? Look at verse 11. Look at what it says. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So why does God do this? So that we will be more generous. So in Israel, in the international, it's that you will be the receptors, so that in all occasions you will be generous. And that by way of us, the generosity of you will result in actions of grace for God. God gives us generously, spiritually, as well as materially, not to make us rich, but so that we will be more generous. The grace of God does not seek reason to give, but a reason to give. There are some classic stories that I love. One of them is a Christmas one. That's the first one that came to mind. You heard the story called A Christmas Carol. You've heard of it. And the personality, the main person, is Ebenezer Scrooge. And he is a greedy man. He hoarded everything. He doesn't even spend a lot of time because he wants to save money, because all he wants to do is save and save and save. He pays his employees very little. He doesn't buy anything new. And three ghosts appear to him to visit him. And they instruct him of how he needs to be generous. And at the end of the story, those that have read that story, he becomes very generous. And he realizes he's been so guilty that he needs to be more generous. And at the end of the story, he turns into this person that becomes so generous, and he invests in other people. The second story that I love is another story about Marmol, Silas Marmol. He is a man who was isolated after he was treated unjustly. And he goes so far away and he begins working. And he works more and more and more. He saves a lot of money. He keeps it all. He has it hidden. And then eventually somebody steals all of his money. It becomes even more bitter. It begins working again. And in the process, I say God, but not sovereignly, God brings a woman into his life, has a little girl, and the woman lives, and he ends up with a young girl. And he adopts that girl, and her name is Epi. And this girl teaches him what is love and what it's like to be generous. And at the end of the story, we realize how he recuperates the money that had been stolen. But at the same time, he becomes generous. And he learns to be happy and content and to be generous. And these stories teach us that God has used us many times for all liberality so that we can give and be more generous. Not only that, so we were generous, but also verse 11 says, is abound in a lot of actions of thanks and glory of God, because it gives an experience and it glorifies God. So you don't receive that benefit. Now, if you do that, then you will receive the blessing that is promised to us in the Word of God and your contribution for them and for all others. So the benefit is that they give thanks for the offering. They give thanks for what you have done for them. But it also says that also in their prayer, it says that as they pray for you, that they will pray for those who have given, and that they love because of the superabundance of God in you. So they give a thanks, God, for those people that are obedient to the gospel to be generous. And they raise that prayer to God and thank God for those people that have been generous. The generosity is a step of obedience to the gospel. Our obedience and generosity causes us so that other people will give thanks to God. It is a testimony as the superabundance grace of God is evident in our lives. And the passage finishes, thank God for his incredible gift. There's a gift which is indescribable. And this is what we receive. It is a gift, indescribable gift for us that should motivate us to give. So the questions for reflection are following. Have you experienced the justice of God through Christ? Have you taken that step? What resources and or opportunities has God given you so that he will multiply to help you in his kingdom or in his mission for his kingdom? And then, are you being obedient to God through generosity? Do you give thank God for your generosity? Do others thank God for your generosity? And then I want to finish here giving you a few points to remember about this. So first of all, God will supply the necessary, and in many cases, more than that, so that you will be happy and you can be generous. Martin Luther said, I've had a lot of things in my hands that I've lost. The things that I've put in the hands of God, I still possess. Number two, God has given you all material things, not so that you will have more, but that you can serve others more. Number three, when you give generously, it's not so that you will reap recompense or glory of others, so that you can receive the blessing of God, the fruits of righteousness, eventually, that he will reward you in his kingdom. When you give generosity, you will be able to bless and glorify God for your obedience. Number five, when you give generously, you show the unity that we have in Christ without caring about social and material state. Now, there's two options that you have, and I'm going to give two stories, two options. Number one, it's the first one. He's talking about a king who went out to greet his subjects, and suddenly he met a beggar who was there with his receptacle, and he was asking alms from the king. But the king did something very peculiar. What he said to him was, he got close to him and he said, give me something. And this beggar began looking around, and he found 2-3 grains of rice, and he put them in the king's hand. At the end of the day, he was going through, he emptied his receptacle, and he realized that there were 3 grains of pure gold. At that moment, he thought, why didn't I give more to the king? At the end of our journey, we will be like that beggar who lost the opportunity to receive from God because we will miss out on the reward that the Lord wants to give us. Second story. There's a story of a sailor who was shipwrecked on an island. He was seized by the inhabitants and carried to the shoulder high of the throne and proclaimed the king. He was given everything, and he asked them that they were able to provide him. And then he learned that the king ruled only for 1 year. He said to them, what happens to them? They told him, every king's abandoned on a lonely island to starve to death. There was no escape for this man. That was his fate. And so this is what he decided to do. In that year, he issued royal decrees week after week, sending carpenters and builders and farmers to that island. Boats and fine houses were built. He learned how to fish. Groves of fruit trees were planted. Animals were taken across and put in pens. When his reign was ended, he was exiled not to a barren rock, but to a paradise of plenty. Each one of us is like that sailor king. Our life in this world is very short, maybe like a year. And our stay in this world is very short. Death will arrive. We will not be more in this world. We need to sow generously and invest in the kingdom of God so for his righteousness. Because a celestial home and what we invest, we will be able to reap generously. That is our option.